Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast. This is episode number 9. As always, I have here my co-host, our official expert in foreign languages, Michael Pinto. Hello, Michael.
Number nine. Hello. Good morning, Manuel. Or good evening.
Actually, I was expecting you to say that in
Latvian.
Latvian language.
No.
No, you don't know Latvian.
No. Oh, sorry.
That is a big fault in your career.
It's a huge fault.
So maybe you can learn a bit about Latvian with our guest, Artur Sosins from Latvia. Hello, Artur. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, this episode we decided to invite Artur because he has been a great contributor not only to the JS class site, on which he has been sending a regular batch of good JavaScript objects, but also in the PHP classes, he also has been sending a great number of good contributions for which everybody that is following the sites have been enjoying. And today we invited him to talk a bit to know about his work. Artur, can you talk a bit about yourself? We already mentioned that you are from Latvia. Can you talk, for instance, how old are you? What do you do for a living? And
yeah, sure. Well, I'm 23 years old. I'm working in a small company of two men, me and designer. We are creating websites here in Latvia, and I'm still studying in Latvian university. Now I will try to get my master's degree in computer science. I'm married and have a little son who's 1 year old.
So we have to do a lot of work to support your family. So you said you develop sites, so I assume that you are working for customers.
Yes.
So are those customers from Latvia or around the world?
Right now they're mostly from Latvia. Some local Latvia companies, events that need websites and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but do you only work for customers from Latvia for an option or for the lack of offers from other countries?
I don't know. We didn't try even reach other countries. Right now, there are plenty of offers to work here, and we are just doing our work.
Sveiki.
I was wondering if you're going to say something in Latvian.
Did I say it right? Was that close enough? Was that good?
Yeah, that was good. Pretty good.
Labvakar.
Good evening.
Was that good? Good evening. Yes. Look at that. I'm done. I got 2 for 2. I'm finished.
I cannot believe that. Did you just learn that in the... No, you learned it before the show, right?
What do you think?
Oh, now I'm wondering.
So your reputation is saved.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, actually, Michael suggested inviting you to the show precisely because every month we comment on the latest objects.
And you're always up there. You're always contributing something. So yeah. I want to know. I'm going to jump in here for just a mo. I'd like to know, Artur's, where do you get the ideas for some of the objects that you're contributing? Are these just things that you're developing for your current clients, for your current work, do you develop them and then you contribute them out, or do you think, oh, that would be a great thing to do, and then maybe you do it and then use it in a client project, or do they not mix at all? How does that come about? Because you've done quite a lot of packages.
Well, I have a term, something like leisure programming, leisure developing, where I have at least couple of hours a week. I try to look into different things, trying to create something new, and mostly created packages was just for leisure, for curiosity, to satisfy my curiosity. But there is almost no package that I didn't use after that in real life development.
Okay. So you are sort of publishing after you found some application that you were already using those classes, or you just motivated yourself to contribute and then you ended up using those objects in your own applications?
I develop them and then after...
you figure a good application.
Yes. I usually don't have clients who know what they want. If you have clients who knows what they want, well, you're really lucky. But usually they come, they say, we'd like a website. Well, if you ask what special features, then they don't know. So I can just open a JS Classes website, look at packages and say, I could offer you this. I could offer you a shortcut, web keyboard shortcuts. I could offer you QR code generation and stuff like that.
So do you actually show the site to your customers, or you just use that to pick ideas for improvements in the customer's application?
It depends on the customer. Usually, I just tell them about ideas, but sometimes I show them so they can see what other options. If they have some understanding of web development, I show them and what could be implemented. They could research and watch for their own what they really want. And
so the site ends up helping you to sort of give show your work to customers, right?
Yes.
So I think that will be a good tip to other authors to also submit their packages and then show their portfolio of public submissions to their customers and sort of demonstrate your capabilities, because from what I could tell, we've been commenting it in previous shows, not just the lately in JavaScript, but also lately in PHP, because not only your classes, objects, demonstrate that you are quite a capable programmer, but they also demonstrate you have a good sense of creativity, because certain components are quite innovative, and well, I'm sure the whole community appreciates that rate of contributions and their quality and utility of your innovations. And I'd like to thank you for that, because everybody's appreciating a lot.
Yeah, about innovations. It's something like that at work when you're building a website. Well, it's not much to do. It's not challenging enough. So in this creating JavaScript and PHP classes, I try to find some challenges and then overcome them, some problems, and overcome them by these classes. So I guess that's where innovations comes in.
So, by the way, do you also look at other people's contributions and eventually use them, or you just use your own code?
Well, I was a member of PHP classes for a long time before I started to submit something, and most of what I did, I was using other people's components.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I noticed that some people actually come to the site just to take ideas, actually look at the other people's contributions and learn how certain things are done, because they did not have an idea, and look at the code. And sometimes they end up using just the ideas, not the actual code. But well, the idea of the site is to share knowledge through components that they are already built and have implemented functionality, and so the overall community knowledge grows. And I think in general it's very interesting, and we are happy to have you here, and we'd like also to know if you have other interesting projects of yourself besides those that you have published in JS classes and PHP classes site that you would like to mention.
Well, right now I don't have any other projects. I got an ideas, got something started, but nothing to present for now.
No, maybe you are hiding some secret components or big applications. Well, that's okay. Just kidding. No, don't worry. But let me just tell you that this space is always open for you to sort of promote your work. Well, given that
I could add for me to other developers that from the start I was I can say shy to submit something that I created. That's why I was a long time just using other objects and didn't submit anything. And so I want to try to maybe encourage other developers and tell that there's nothing to be shy about. Okay, I was thinking that I would make some stupid mistake, you know, and then others maybe won't understand, and just overcome that. And what I would like to say that these classes, submitting your class, really provides you a feedback and free testers, I might say even, and it really helps you to acknowledge your skills and maybe even raise your programming skills and your level.
Yeah, because from what I could tell, the JS Classes site is not yet nearly as big as PHP Classes site because it is still a young site. Still there are many comments I can see here in the comment section that people go on your packages forums and they comment about your packages, and I'm not sure if they are asking for help or just telling you if they appreciate. But the idea of this site is that you expose your work and promote yourself, promote your work, get some feedback regarding where opportunities for improving your packages, and the idea is mainly that. Other than that, you mentioned that you already have enough work for yourself in Latvia. But if some company would like to hire you to do some special work, would you be available? And if so, how they can they contact you?
I think I could try to work remotely. I don't want to leave my country, my family, but I could try to work remotely, and I would even willing to try to do that, to take some new challenges. And so they can contact me by my email address, which is artursosin@gmail.com. I have a small blog where I put some code snippets and publish documentations for my packages. It's webcodingeasy.com.
Yeah.
Those are the main sources where people could reach me.
Are you on Twitter or you don't?
I recently started using Twitter. Yes, it's the same nickname, Artur Sosin. To find me there.
Okay, I think nice. That is good to know. Once again, thank you for your contributions. I hope you can still have time in the future to keep those contributions coming.
Because yeah, I have a couple more ideas.
Oh, I hope you have more than a couple, but that's up to you. Well, that was good to have you here, but I would like to invite you to continue to the rest of the show so you can also comment on other topics that we'll be talking about regarding what has been happening in the JavaScript world lately. We are going to start with a topic that Arthur suggested regarding a new site, sitehaps.com. Arthur, would you like to talk a bit about E2 and why you found it interesting in the scope of the JavaScript development?
So sitetabs.com is a website that would allow clients to implement web applications written in JavaScript without the coding knowledge. They provide the service. And there is a part for developers like me, like many of the listeners, when they can take their JS classes submitted objects and put them in real work. They can create applications using it and even monetize them, try to sell them or rent the application. Sitetabs provides all these abilities. Maybe there's not much thing going now right now, but Sitetabs community are listening to developer feedbacks. They are implementing new features. And when this kind of service will be popular, then I guess that Sitetabs might be one of the first one to be on the market and present all these applications. So it's a great time to get in and lock your positions.
So if I got this right, is this a sort of marketplace, or it plans to be? Because as you mentioned, it is still being developed, right?
Well, it's open already, but they're still adding features, and this kind of thing isn't popular yet. But as a predict company behind the Sitetabs, they are all about innovations, and maybe it's one of main reasons why I joined and follow what are they developing and why I'm interested in it.
Yeah,
so it's a kind of innovative idea.
Yeah, it seems to be an interesting idea. I only gave it a brief look at it, and it seemed to be a sort of a marketplace on which, as you mentioned, developers will be able to sort of monetize their work by selling applications based on JavaScript. Curiosity that I have regarding this is this: do you only have to provide applications in JavaScript, or you can maybe use maybe some web services on which you have some service being provided for maybe for a fee or something? Is that how it works, or do you have strictly to provide all the JavaScript code for
right now it's mainly in JavaScript, but I guess you could write a JavaScript application that would communicate with your server, and that is how you could provide the service with a monthly fee, but language accepted is JavaScript for now.
Right, I think JavaScript would just be the sort of the glue that will link site applications to eventual external services, maybe yours or somebody else. I think you will keep an eye on this, and maybe in a future show you can actually invite people from that company, Predicta. I realize they're actually also from Brazil, so probably it won't be hard for me to talk with them, but we'll see what they have in mind, and they will be interested to come and talk a bit about this. But now moving on to other interesting topics, things that have been happening in the JavaScript world. A very popular package that has been released is Selenium 2. For those not familiar with Selenium, this is basically a testing framework. And personally, I'm not a big expert on this, but I think it will be very interesting to follow, because since this is a major new release, it certainly addresses new big features that have been launched. Personally, I don't have much to comment on this. I don't know if you guys have been following Selenium development. Do you like to
comment? I'll jump in. I'm going to jump in because I haven't said anything in a while.
I was just waiting for you.
Okay. Well, I've been waiting for you to give me a moment, but I'm going to have to steal it. So I have not used Selenium 2.0 yet. This news just crossed my desk maybe a week or so ago. It's the announcement only came out, I think, on the 8th of the month. So it's pretty new. But one of the I first started using Selenium years ago and only ever used it with the JavaScript with the JavaScript on the front end that would just drive the browser below it. One of the things I learned later on, it was harder to use from PHP, though I think it got easier, is there's something called web drivers where they have bindings to different languages that will let you fairly easily spin up a browser, programmatically tell the browser to do things, and get the results. So you could write your tests and just treat the browser as a component, which was pretty interesting. Reading their news or press release about this, what was even more interesting to me is that support for WebDriver is now baked into both Opera and Chrome, and the Selenium people are working with Mozilla to make sure that the drivers work with Mozilla as well. I did not know that the concept or the WebDriver idea was something that browser makers were also participating in. So for me, that was a bit of an eye-opener that this isn't just somebody... It would be like somebody writing a web robot that just goes and does screen scraping. Well, instead of just a screen scraping, a particular site says, here's my API, you can access my data directly. That gives you a whole another level of stability and access. So it was really interesting to me to see that. I don't see anything specifically saying that Microsoft or Safari explicitly have WebDriver support. But my understanding is that the Selenium WebDriver still, on the Selenium side, they can still interact with Safari and IE, but it looks like it's probably going to be more easy and supported on Opera and Chrome.
Yeah. Oh, well, yep. Actually, in the past, it used to be, I think, a Firefox-only thing, right?
Well, early on it was, but a couple of years ago, I did set up, maybe it was last, no, it was almost 2 years ago. I do remember setting up, there was support for IE to drive IE in some version of what I was looking at, some version of Selenium I was looking at, but I didn't have IE at the time, so that didn't matter to me specifically.
All right. Arthur, are you going to comment something?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what about mobile phone browsers? Does Selenium, the second version, support them? Does anyone know?
Well, we'd like to check.
It says here in the press release, WebDriver also works on Android and iPhone, allowing you to test your sites on the next wave of the web. Now, how easy that is, if you can actually programmatically drive the iPhone emulator or drive an Android browser through the emulator, I'm not sure how that works, but it does look like they're aware of it and continuing to work in that for more mobile support.
Well, that's great to know.
Yeah.
Well, this is quite an advanced package for testing, because it can capture the actual events that are going on on the browser, so you can check if they are what your application expects. And actually, in the past show, a guest mentioned that other than testing, he was using Selenium as a sort of macro recorder, which it's quite sort of unexpected way to use it, because it was not its main purpose, but since it can provide not only recording of events but also playback, I think it's interesting to understand how users are realizing these capabilities of Selenium. Well, I think maybe in the future we could also have a show dedicated to it. I know Paul Hammond, a good old friend from England, that is working in the Selenium team, and maybe you can have him to give his insights about the power of this tool, because I'm sure we are under I'm not sure if it would be underestimating, but I'm sure we are not giving it as much coverage as probably deserves now, because it's just covering the latest news. And other than that, another interesting development in the JavaScript world is the latest release of Node.js, which now, among other new interesting features, has a native Windows build that is being made available for download for those that would like to use it on Windows. And on that note, I think that is a very important step for the future of Node, because from what I understand, despite many of us that develop sites only use on the server side platforms like Linux and probably not much else, on our development environments, I think it's probably around 80% of the developers use Windows. And so if you can have Node running natively on Windows, it sort of makes it easy for Node be more accepted by the developers in general. I don't know. I know Michael uses Mac as his desktop platform. Artur, what do you use for your development platform?
Well, what you said, it's exactly my case. I use Windows and I have never tried Node.js because I couldn't run it on my local host.
So maybe now you can,
Yes.
You'll be able to develop some even more interesting JavaScript applications.
Yes, at least I'm willing to try.
Yeah, because Node, sort of, in my opinion, Node opened a new world of opportunities. It's a different way to develop server-side applications. Eventually, those types of applications for which PHP would not be adequate, because it probably take too much memory. Like, for instance, if you have a chat server on which you have many users concurrently accessing a server, if you have that being handled by PHP, it could work, but it would take too many forking of the web server processes, and that would take a lot of memory. But the way that Node runs, Node itself, it provides a built-in HTTP server, so it doesn't need a separate web server, and it all runs in a single thread, which may not necessarily be a good thing, but as long as it doesn't crash, there are things that you can benefit, like sharing the context, the values that each of the it's not exactly threads, but each of the requests that are being handled can produce their own information. For instance, if you are running a chat server, every user that type something in the chat window will enter some text that will have to be distributed to other participants in the chat session. And if it is all running in a single thread, every request being handled by the Node web server could have access to all the chat text in that is in memory, and that would be quite fast, and all this in a single thread would take much less memory than a traditional PHP Apache based solution. Michael, I don't know if you have tried any things specific with Node that you'd like to comment about.
Well, I've done a hello world.
Okay, that's good.
Hola, Hola Mundo. I guess it's for my Spanish-speaking friends out there.
What about in Latvia?
No, I'll tell you Latvian. You just have to hold on for a moment. I got to think very hard. I would say...
Google Translate.
Svielki. It's Svielki world. I've done a little bit. I tried. I think I mentioned this last or a couple issues ago, a couple episodes ago. We had a presentation on Zombie at a local user group, and Zombie is a headless browser for Node. And I saw the presentation. It looked really awesome. I tried to get it to work on my local machine, and I couldn't get it to work. So I spent some time. And when I just followed the instructions and it didn't work. So I went through and spent some time going through a little bit of Node. I did my Hello World, did a couple of let me try this, let me take some input and do something. So I wanted to make sure that I understood enough of what was going on with Node to make sure that it wasn't something I was doing wrong. I think the whole Node ecosystem is still moving pretty fast. And yeah, what I was finding with Vows and Zombie and some of the other plugins were people saying, well, it worked for me on this version, but it didn't work on this version and the next version, and it'll work again. And that's, it's as neat as some of the Node system is, it feels a little fragile to me right now. And if I spent more time, if I just sat down and said, I got nothing but a week or two, and I'm just going to focus and just get in and do all this, I could probably get it and figure out all the issues, and it would become very natural. I don't have that kind of time to put in. So I'm at the point now where I have to wait for some of these technologies to get a bit more stable and get some of the kinks worked out before I can really get involved. Yeah. But I continue to watch, and I'll play now and then and see how that works out. And I suspect that the Windows release is gonna have a bunch of effects. One of them will be a lot more people coming into the Node world, and a lot more bugs getting found, and a lot more bugs getting fixed, and a lot more activity happening. So all of those things, I don't see the Windows port being bad. I think it's going to bring a lot more people into the fold. I think from my standpoint, that's going to make it a lot more crazy in the short term. But maybe 6 months from now, we'll see even more stability there.
Right. Well, for those not familiar with Node, let me just give you a preview of what you'll get when using Node. Node, one of these core, I'll say, ways of doing it is to push asynchronous programming as much as possible. This means that from now on, if you are used to, let's say, open a file and your program will continue after the file is opened, using Node, that is different. Now you open the file and you pass a callback function that will be called when the file is opened. And the same for every other I/O operation, reading files, writing files, and accessing networks, even DNS operations are all asynchronous. Some functions, some I/O operations have support to be done synchronously, but the idea is to do it synchronously. So if you are used to do that all synchronously in the language that you've worked before, PHP or Python or Ruby or Java or C#, whatever, Node pushes things in a different way, and you have to wrap your mind around it. So it's not like it will be easy. You have to change your mindset on the way you think you write your code. But the good side of this is that this way of working asynchronously allows your applications to be to make a more efficient use of resources, and that's why you can have a single web server running in a single thread. And but this is just to give an overview for those that were not yet familiar with Node but are considering looking into it. I think about Node, I think that was the most important thing to comment about for now is that, as Michael mentioned, it will bring a lot of people that only use Windows on their desktops for development, thanks to this build that is now being made available natively for Windows. But moving on with other news, now I'd like to comment just a bit about JSMAD, which is basically a library for decoding MP3 audio streams, which is quite amazing because MP3 is actually MP3 is just an alias for MPEG audio layer level 3, which is just considering the audio streams of MPEG stream. And what this library JSMAD does is basically to decode streams, audio streams in an MP3, so they can be played back in a browser that provides some support to playback audio using the, I suppose, the HTML5 APIs. And what got my attention regarding this is that decoding MPEG streams is not a trivial task, and this being done natively on in JavaScript really demonstrates on one side the kind of heavy tasks on which JavaScript is being used nowadays, and also the kind of the capabilities of the developers that are being attracted to do this kind of things on JavaScript. And I think it's quite amazing. As I mentioned, the decoding MPEG streams is not a trivial task. What do you guys think about this and probably other similar projects that do non-trivial things in JavaScript?
Well, I didn't even know that it was possible. Well, I knew there are more beyond the front-end developing options in JavaScript, but I didn't think that this kind of thing would be possible using plain JavaScript.
Yeah, now you know. Maybe it probably give you other ideas.
Yes.
About other interesting JavaScript packages.
Both, and from my standpoint, JavaScript is, well, any language is just something that processes data, and they do it in different ways. JavaScript is no different. It still processes data. So from that standpoint, assuming that one can get access to the data stream, it's, I'm not trivializing it. I'm not trying to say, oh, it's a no-brainer, but MP3 decoding software has been written in other languages for decade or more. It's not an unknown problem. It is quite novel that it's being done in a browser, very similar to the PDFJS that we talked about last month. Oh, right. A PDF renderer in JavaScript. And again, if you look at Ubuntu and some of the other Linux desktop packages, there have been at GhostScript, there have been PDF rendering is not an unknown problem either. The novel aspect is, oh, we're using a language that people haven't used before, and we're doing it in a different context. So it's interesting, and it's novel, and I'm not saying that I could do it, but I think we are seeing that people are looking to push the boundaries as to what's possible in JavaScript. We're mostly looking at, you know, even a low end, even if you go buy a machine for a couple hundred dollars, it has a couple of gigs of RAM. It's got a couple gig of processor. It's, you know, even the really low end throwaway hardware still has enough processing power to handle these sorts of tasks these days. The other interesting thing to me is, if I remember seeing the JSMAD demo, is that it doesn't work in all browsers. And we're seeing, what I'm seeing, I should say, and maybe others are seeing it as well, is, let me back up, because 2005, 2006, 2007, we started seeing the rise of things like jQuery and YUI. We saw these libraries that would abstract all the differences. so you could in the DOM model, so you could write a piece of code and it would run. You could write JavaScript effects. You could write a JavaScript app and have it run on all the browsers. And in the past few years, I think we've been seeing a decline in the maybe the respect or the fear that people give Microsoft, and we've seen that on all levels, and we're seeing it in the envelope pushing that people are doing with JavaScript. If you look at the JS Mad thing, it doesn't run. I think it only runs in Chrome. Maybe it'll run in Firefox at some point. It probably won't run in IE for years. Maybe it'll run in IE 10, and nobody cares anymore. So people are a lot more willing to experiment and push and try new things, and they can do it, and they'll actually get feedback. I think 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you could have written a really awesome rendering thing that took very strong advantage of something in Opera, for example. Or what if you'd written an MP3 runtime or real-time decoder in JavaScript, but it only ran on Opera? Nobody would care, unfortunately. You know, it's frustrating to me that Opera never got as big as I think they could have. But we have some of these quote-unquote alternative browsers these days, and collectively, for a lot of people, Safari, Firefox, and Chrome, probably for them, for a site owner, they may make up more than 50% of their traffic. So people are willing to say, sure, I'll do something, and it might be Chrome only, or maybe it's Chrome and Safari, and maybe it'll get ported to Firefox. Hey, if they only support Chrome, Safari, and Firefox, they may still be reaching 40 or 50% of their audience. So and the people that are pushing these envelopes are generally writing these tools to be used by other techies, so who are probably using Chrome or Safari or Firefox. I'm sorry to ramble there, but it's an interesting phenomenon to me, and I think this will continue to accelerate. We'll see more experimentation in other browsers.
Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned Microsoft, at least in the JS classes site and PHP classes site, which has a similar audience, IE audience is below 10% now. Mm. So it seems to be dying or something.
At least for developers.
Yeah, well, that's a very specific audience. You cannot generalize. The rest of the world is probably at least 50% of IE being used. But like Michael mentioned, what is interesting to notice is that now developers are not afraid to publish things that probably won't work in the once dominant browsers like IE. But that's just one curiosity. But moving on to another thing that has been released lately, actually, Michael has just mentioned also PDF support, not only parsing and rendering, but there is now a library named PDF Kit that is meant to run on top of Node.js for rendering, generating PDF documents. And it's quite interesting because it sort of enforces what we have said before. Now that you have a PDF parser and also a PDF generation library, you can have a sort of a PDF editor. You just need to probably have a GUI for editing it on a browser, and soon enough you will have a full word processor capabilities without being a natural thing, not like Google Docs that is still a bit, in my opinion, a bit forced implementation of a word processing and spreadsheet. It is not very fast, at least in my experience, to edit documents. But with these libraries, probably many things can be done much faster on the browser for document editing. I don't know what you guys think about this.
Archers?
I looked at the PDF, this library features, PDF Kit features. It provides features like vector graphic and SVG, but I was wondering Would it be possible to simply generate a PDF from HTML code to pass to this library? And I didn't find any of this option to do it.
Yeah, that would probably have a great demand for that, because for people working with the web, generating HTML is more natural. I don't know. I know there are some libraries for PHP to sort of convert HTML to PDF, but for JavaScript I have not found anything specific, but probably because I didn't look, but probably it is something that already exists, and it would be very interesting to sort of have some level of HTML to PDF conversion, because we are more natural working with HTML than PDF. But I think we cover a great set of interesting news of what has been happening in the JavaScript world. Now moving on towards the end of the show, we have just a couple of regular sections, starting with the latest objects being published in the JS Classes site. And practically all of the latest have been developed and submitted by Arthurs. Arthurs, while you are here, can you give yourself your own overview of your own components that you have been publishing lately in the JS Classes site?
Yeah, sure. One of the latest was this feedback easy object, which is a simple object that generates form to submit information to Google Analytics, like just rate a website and submit simple comment. One day I was just trying to explore the possibilities of the options of Google Analytics, and then I thought that I could try something like this. It worked pretty well, and that's why I submitted it.
That's quite interesting. One question that I had regarding that, because I saw it actually, I approved it like every other contribution to the site, but I did not actually try it in practice. Can you tell a bit more how it works? I understood that it collects some user feedback and then throws events that are handled by Google Analytics. But in the end, what happens? Those events appear in some Google Analytics reports, or what is the use of that?
There is a specific section in Google Analytics, like Google Events, where you could just see the marks that given to your website, no, the rating, the comment, or the people who just closed the form, if you allowed that option. And it also sets a custom variable on a visitor level to prevent submitting this form again, that like leaves a cookie or something.
Yeah. So you end up with some special reports that show in Google Analytics that show that give you some useful information about the user feedback for you to take some action regarding what the users think about a certain page, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this seems to be very interesting, because it's a less known possibility of Google Analytics. I was just commenting with a friend. He was telling me about this possibility of exploring the Google Analytics events, because he is developing not in HTML and JavaScript, but in Flex, which in practice is Flash. And there is also an API for them to use from Flex to record events, and it's a similar principle with regular JavaScript applications, and This is a very innovative component that got my attention because of that possibility of using Google Analytics to record events that you may want to track and account and generate some useful reports. Other than that, what other objects you have been publishing that you'd like to comment?
Well, the latest one is a countdown object, which might seem like a simple updating countdown, but the main thing in it, firstly, it displays month. I don't know why I didn't find any countdowns that would display month in time left. Only display weeks or days or years. It might be too hard to calculate it, but well, I got it. I tried it, and the second thing that it has a format string where you can pass where you can customize your countdown mostly as you wish. Use HTML if you want, and so that would I recently needed also a countdown in one of my work project, and I think I created this one so it could be used in many all in the future and can be customized as I wish.
Yeah, actually I saw other classes that do this sort of countdown, but they were in for PHP, so they would basically only show the countdown to a certain time in a static form. It wouldn't be updating every second or every minute or regularly. It just you would require to refresh the page. So it's interesting, despite it's a very simple component in terms of functionality. Other than that, another component that was published recently, and which was not from Harters, is this Temple, which is basically a template engine written in JavaScript. Michael, did you take a look at this component?
Well, I did. Alexander Astashenko, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, or pretty close, I think I am, from Belarus. And I was interested in this for a couple reasons, because I've been working on another project with a guy, and actually he had started using a JavaScript templating system, and I think it was Mustache, which I think he's done it, and I've just been kind of looking at what he's done and trying to parse it out, and I'm not sure to what extent Mustache lives within Rails and works just within Rails, or if it's something that works outside of that. But the idea of JavaScript templating, I was first introduced to it last year by Rebecca Murphy at a JavaScript user group in our area, and she gave a quick demo of something, and so it's kind of been in the back of my mind. Current project, I'm working with somebody, and he's using, I think it's Mustache, he's doing something. So it's been front of mind, and looking at what Alexander's put together, it looks pretty straightforward to use, and it's kind of made me think, ooh, that would be, because I'm very used to passing in, for example, a PHP array or a Groovy array into a PHP file or a GSP file and looping through all that. So conceptually, I understand templates, but I never, I just haven't really taken the plunge in doing JavaScript templates yet. But it seems that for Ajax applications, from my perspective, that seems where it'd be a really handy thing to do. Now, Archers, do you have any particular experience integrating any JavaScript templating into your work? Do you use JavaScript templating at all?
No, I have never used them. I use Smarty templates in almost all my works, but just like as you mentioned, my first thought was that it would be really handy for Ajax applications.
I've mentioned Rebecca to some friends before. I worked on a project with her last year, and I'm saying the name because some people, she's been fairly influential over the past couple of years in the JavaScript world, or in the U.S. anyway, because she's organized some conferences and does a lot of good writing But I worked on a project with her, and she did a lot of front end Dojo, and so just everything, the whole front end app was just Dojo. It was a full app that just happened to talk back web services to the back server. And I never feel like I have enough time to start a project and learn how to do all that. But at some point I will, and at some point I will start using templating. Might be Temple that I use. Hopefully, if that's kept up to date, and that might be something that I kind of start with, because I want to feel like I'm doing more. Personally, it's felt like I keep up with a lot of what's going on with JavaScript, but I feel like in the last year or so that I haven't kept up with a lot of the cool stuff that's happening. So I definitely want to play more with these ideas.
Right. This package that we are mentioning, as mentioned before, it does not do anything unusual.
Right.
It's very similar to many, many PHP packages or packages in other languages that we've been seeing before, but since it is done on JavaScript, it can be well used in an browser-side applications.
I'm going to throw... let me say one more thing that I really like, something that Alexander did on your site. He made a link to JS Fiddle. JS Fiddle is a browser. It's just a site that lets you run JavaScript and see exactly what the output's going to be like. So I didn't need to download his code. I didn't need to install it. I didn't need to do anything. I could just go to JS Fiddle and start playing with his code directly. That was really handy because I got to see it. I could look on the screen. I could play with stuff. I got a really good feel for what it was like, really, really easy. And it would be awesome if more people did that. Or perhaps if you made that, either if you did some integration with JS Fiddle or if you on JS Classes made your own JS Fiddle.
Yeah, that's
clone.
A good idea to think about because I've been asked about that for PHP code. But for security reasons, I wouldn't run PHP code. But you also mentioned in the past show the Google Kaha project that somehow protects you from certain actions that maybe you would like to prevent. You would not allow, for instance, cross-site scripting attacks by running code that probably does that, steal cookies and sends them to...
Yeah.
Separate servers. Definitely, it's a good idea to something that I'd like to study and eventually implement something similar. I'll keep that in mind.
Sure, it's not trivial to do because you have security to keep in mind. But I think it would certainly make exploring the JS Classes contributions a lot more interactive.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Well, that's yet another thing that I would like to implement in the future, but. I don't know when, but certainly I'll keep that in mind because I can see the value that you'll provide to the users coming to the site. Well, anyway, until that is made available, any author submitting their packages can add related links like this author did to JS Fiddle where they can test the code and interactively and submit it to let the users try it before they actually download it. And that's very interesting. Well, but moving on towards now, very close to the end of this show, I just wanted to comment a bit about the contributions. Actually, for those that have been following the PHP Classes site, they now know that now it is possible to import packages, eventually large packages, to publish them in the JS Classes site from existing CVS repositories. CVS is a versioning system that is actually not the most popular nowadays, but is the oldest. And I started supporting CVS because I had many projects still in CVS repositories. But the idea is to expand that to Subversion and then to Git. At least those three systems will be supported. And right now I'm finishing the support to Subversion. And when this podcast is released, probably it is already being available. So authors that have packages they have and other, let's say, project hosting systems like SourceForge or Google Code or CodePlex, and eventually GitHub, they will be able to import those packages. CVS support is implemented. Subversion is being finished, probably already done when you listen to this. And the Git support is being done, hopefully, in the next weeks. And all this to say that since in the latest weeks we had very few packages, probably because at least the North Hemisphere is on vacation. Everybody went to the beach instead of submitting packages to the site. We had very few contributions, but we had a good discussion here about the very few that were submitted, and that was already good enough. But hopefully next month the number of contributions will increase. Also, thanks to the support of these version control systems that will allow authors to import their packages with a fraction of the effort. And in the past, they had to upload each file of the package of their packages one by one, and that was a very tedious task, and many authors end up giving up because they had too many files in their packages to import. And now with practically only a single step of entering the repository address and importing the packages, they can publish their packages without the pain they had to go through before. But this is just to comment on apparent shortage of packages submitted recently. And now, practically at the end, we just like to ask Michael. Michael, I assume that you probably don't have yet your lineup ready for the upcoming JS Mag.
Well, we've got some things, but it's a little up in the air at this point. We are recording a little earlier than we normally do, so I won't go into too much of that. I will reiterate, as I do, just as Manuel is always looking for great contributions to JS classes, we're always looking for great contributions to JS Mag. We do pay authors. We're looking for new, interesting, and advanced and novel uses of JavaScript and articles for our JS Mag readers. So if you're interested, you can email me, michael@jsmag.com, and I can send you more information about how to get started. So if you had something you want to share with people, and you'd like some help getting that idea out, please get in touch.
Yeah, one thing that I've commented with Arthur's before. Arthur's is from Latvia. Probably he was a bit afraid that his English was not good enough. But as you mentioned in the past, you have editors that can help.
Yeah.
You, right?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. If you're able to write code, we can work with you. We have editors that help people. If English is not their first language, we'll help shape the English. And even for people who English is their first language, that doesn't mean that they're great writers. And we have a couple of good editors that will work with you, and they'll say, hey, I tried this. This doesn't work, or this doesn't make sense, or what did you mean by this? So no, it's they do a really good job.
Yeah. That's always good to know. We always try to pass that message, because not only is good for the growth of JS Mag as a great JavaScript magazine, but it's also another opportunity for authors that want to contribute to make some money and contribute to a community that they are enjoying, the JavaScript developers community. And, well, I think that we are practically done with this episode. I would like to thank you, Arthur, for coming. I hope you can continue with your amazing pace of contributions that you are sending to not just to JS Classes site, but also to the PHP Classes site.
Yeah, I'll try.
Yeah, let me remind you of one detail. In the PHP Classes site, there is an Innovation Award prize that is being given every month. We nominate the most innovative packages. And the reason why this award does not yet exist in the JS Classes site is because it does not have a large enough number of contributions to just highlight the innovative. Practically all packages are somehow innovative. And
I just hope I won't run out of ideas when this contest will actually start.
Yeah, but I don't think you will. That's my opinion. But I hope that at most in 1 year, I'll start the Innovation Award initiative in JS Classes site too. But I definitely would like to encourage everybody to not wait for that, to continue to contribute, because the site needs to grow in number of contributions so I can get to that point. Other than that, I also like to thank you, Michael, for coming as always to give his insights. And on my part, I think that's all for now.
Yeah. Thanks, Manuel, for putting this together, as always. Thank you, Arturs, for being with us. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.